This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Thank you so much for being a part of this show today. You know, I always say that, well, I pray that, Lord, just bring the people that need to hear and help me have the words that you would want me to speak, because this isn't my show in the sense that it's God's show. And I want to make sure that what I'm saying is true and that it's from His word. And a lot of the times I'll bring in my personal experiences just because I think that that helps with the passion, because I have a passion. And the passion is that there was a time in my life, actually more than once, where I felt helpless and hopeless and like there was no tomorrow. I felt that I didn't know what to do or how to do, and I felt I was so out of control. I don't know if you can relate to this, if this has ever occurred or happened to you, or maybe even someone you know. It zaps the energy right out of you. It makes you to where you can't move. You get so stuck that it's difficult to know what to do, and you get fearful and more fearful because every move you make, you're worried that it might be the wrong one and it could make things worse instead of better. And you're already at the bottom of this, so man, you don't want to make it worse. So I don't know if you can relate to this or not. With that, though, I want to say that there is hope and there is help, and this show is to provide that in some way. And I don't even know how this might affect you. I don't know any of that. And a lot of times we do things because God calls us to do them, and we just trust that He's got the wheel. Jesus grabbed the wheel, and He's going to make things happen. And sometimes what I say is going to affect you, and I'm hoping that I have expectation that will happen for you today, that no matter where you are in your life, there's a chance and a hope that you could even do better or be better. And the show is about giving hope when you're feeling hopeless, but also if you're in a place of mediocrity, that it's going to pull you out of mediocrity and hopefully encourage you to move forward towards something more special and better for you, better for those around, and for you to fulfill God's purpose in your life. That's what I hope for you, and that's what I pray for you, is that you will provide what God has created you for, that you will make that happen for yourself and for God, because you were created for a specific purpose. And a lot of times people don't know what that purpose is. Do you know what your purpose is? A lot of us don't. When I was preparing for this show today, I was in the radio. You have to check the mic and you have to check your headset to make sure that they're working properly. And I could only hear out of one headset, only one ear. And I'm like, oh, there's something wrong with my headset or something, because I can only hear out of one ear. And what I quickly realized is by checking where I plug it in, is that I was only plugged in halfway. Now, there's a life lesson right there, isn't there? Are you only plugged in halfway to what God has for you? Because I was only plugged in halfway, and I only heard half of the beautiful sound that I could hear if I was just completely plugged in. So it's funny, because these little tiny things happen to us and we don't relate it to a bigger thought process. And Jesus, he spoke in parables a lot. And why he did that is, number one, is we listen to stories and we can relate to stories better than just somebody giving you words to live by or whatnot. It grabs your emotion. It gets you to the passionate part of your life or your body. And it helps us to remember and hopefully maybe change something within ourselves so we can be better for God's kingdom. Also, I always refer to Jesus Calling. It's a book by Sarah Young. And I go to the date. And it's amazing because I pray and ask God to guide me as far as what I should talk about today. And it became very apparent that I'm supposed to talk about planning, about our lives and how we plan our lives. Because if we don't plan, what happens when you go through a day and you don't have a plan for the day, but it's evening already and you're going, wow, what happened to today? Does that ever happen to you? What happened to today? What did I accomplish today? I can't remember anything really that I accomplished, but the day went, right? And I was thinking about this when I was in Paris. I was in Paris recently, and I was there for dance. I was teaching and I was dancing, and it was a fun time, but there was downtime. And the downtime is I decided, and the Lord kind of prompted me, to write something about planning. I'm going to talk about what I wrote about in a minute. But I want to read this, because the reason I said that is because I had planned and the Lord had given me what I was to talk about today is my point. And then I opened this book that I hadn't opened before I had made my plan. And all of a sudden, you're going to understand this when I read this. You're going to understand how this is just so amazing to me, but it's so God. And sometimes we need this check to make sure that we understand that God's in control. It's not me, it's God that's in control. And I get these confirmations and affirmations just by the slightest little things, such as this. Let the dew of my presence refresh your mind and heart. So many, many things vie for your attention in this complex world of instant communication. The world has changed enormously since I first gave the command to be still and know that I am God. However, this timeless truth is essential for the well-being of your soul. As dew refreshes grass and flowers during the stillness of the night, so my presence revitalizes you as you sit quietly with me. A refreshed, revitalized mind is able to sort out what is important and what is not. In its natural condition, your mind easily gets stuck on trivial matters, like the spinning wheels of a car trapped in mud. The cogs of your brain spin impotently when you focus on a trivial thing. As soon as you start communicating with me about the matter, your thoughts gain traction and you can move on to more important things. Communicate with me continually and I will put my thoughts into your mind. And that's what he's done today, is he put his thoughts in my mind. So isn't it amazing how, you know, just reading that little blurb out of this book and how it goes right along, and you'll see how it goes right along with the message of the day. And it's true. I know that I'm finding this to be true with me. I have so much going on during the day and I feel like I'm an organized person. But as I get busier and busier, I realize just that I'm not organized well enough. I need to get more organized in order to get more done in the day. I don't know if you can relate to that. You're probably giggling right now because that's probably you too. So when I was in Paris, I wrote this, and I want to go into this because the Lord gave it to me when I was there. And basically, it was on June 17th that I wrote this, and it was 2 years after my leg accident. And so it really brought back to light everything that was happening 2 years before, where God had said, be still and know. And he didn't cause me to have my accident. I got on the horse and the horse bucked me off. It wasn't God's fault that happened. Some people say, do you blame God for that? And I'm like, no, I don't. I blame me because I got on the horse and the horse bucked me off. So here it goes. And I started with, please, Lord, guide my thoughts and actions. Help me to make decisions that will be healthy for my children and their children. What have I learned while traveling? And here's what I wrote. We tend to plan our vacations or holidays more intensely than our work days. If we spent the same amount of care on our destinations in life, goals, I wonder how much further we would get and achieve in our lives. Now, let's just think about that for a second. And isn't that so true? I know when I was getting ready for this trip, I was figuring out how many days I was going to be there and how big of a suitcase I needed. I was picturing, you know, the weather and how many changes of clothes I would need. There was daytime clothes. There was nighttime clothes. Could I just put on a jacket? How many pairs of pants? If I needed a skirt, if you're a girl, you know, those types of things. And so I had to go through a lot of thought process and just figuring out what I was going to wear, let alone what I was going to do when I got there, but just in what I was going to wear. So I just found that amazing that there's so much planning. And then, you know, making the airline arrangements and figuring out, you know, the start of, you know, the departure time, the all of those things, it all plays into this, how many days and then meals and things like that. So there's a lot of planning that goes into vacation. How many places are you going to go? Do you need transportation? All those things, right? So getting back to basics or fundamentals, no matter how good you get in sports, business, personal relationships, we must go back to basics. What do I mean by that? Exactly that, going back to the basics. What is it do we need? What is it we want? Some are desires and some are absolutes, right? How often and what are they in every arena of our lives? What are the basics in every arena? For instance, in your spiritual life, what are the basics in your spiritual life? To be in the Word every day, to pray every day, to give thanks every day. Those would be the basics, wouldn't they? Those are the basics. And to love thy neighbor as thyself and to put God first in all things. Those would be the basics that we have for our spiritual life. For our health life, what are the basics in our health life? You need to get a certain amount of exercise. You need to drink so many glasses of water in a day. You need to eat good food, not bad food. You need to get plenty of rest. Those are the basics, aren't they? How are you doing so far? Check off that list, okay? On the basics. Everything else is extra, okay? At work, what are your basics at work? You know what they are because everybody has different jobs or different careers. What are the basics that you need to accomplish? For me, for Ecola, the termite company and pest company, is I have to make sure I have enough leads to give... I have to have enough leads in order to have my inspectors go out and do enough inspections to get enough work on the board to keep my technicians busy. It's a vicious cycle. I shouldn't say vicious. It's a cycle. And it's a business cycle. And every business has a cycle. And every business has the basics. What do we have to accomplish every day in order to stay in business, right? That's the question. How often and what are they in every arena of your lives? Have you answered that question? Emotionally, how are you feeling? Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you depressed? Are you anxious? Then ask yourself why. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. Career, what are your goals? Assessments, what do you want? Where are you right now and where do you want to be? Personal relationships, how are your personal relationships? You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about planning your life like you plan your vacation. Actually, I hope better than you plan your vacation because we spend a lot of time on that. And we can get caught up in the little things and forget the big things. So we need to keep our focus on the most important things, don't we? And if you're just tuning in right now, I just want to let you know that don't worry if there's somebody that you think needs to hear this show. You can tell them about the show by going to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and they can click on there, and there is a wealth of podcasts on there, and you can pick. It's 3.5, almost 4 years now of podcasts, and it's set up to be by date, by guest, if there is a guest. I have many guests on the show, and or the topic matter of what the topic is about. So feel free to go on there and please share this. And also, if you could connect with me, I'd really, really love that. I love it when I get emails from the website stating that somebody heard my show or that it helped them, encouraged them. Or if you have a subject matter in which you'd want me to cover, I would love that because I'm always asking the Lord to provide me with subject matter because I want to know what you want to know about, okay? I want to give you hope where you're at. And I need your information in order to be able to do that. So moving forward here, personal relationships is where I left off. How are they? Are you in love? That's an interesting question, isn't it? You know, I was talking to a lady who had been married 66 years on a previous live show, and she was crying and she was, you know, connecting with me because she missed her husband so, so very much. And I said to her at that moment, I just said, Dottie, I said, you know, it's amazing because you had something that there's other people that dream or wish their entire life to feel even for a day. And you had it for an entire 66 years. And for that, she is grateful and thankful, but there's such a hole and an emptiness now because they were so much of each other's lives. So I ask you, are you in love? And what is that? What does it feel like? What is it? I see a lot of couples, married couples, and I see them in restaurants and whatnot, and I see them sitting there and they'll be on their iPhones or they'll be reading the paper or they'll be, you know, not even interacting with each other. And I feel sorry for them. I feel sad for them. There is no touch. There is no connection. And I'm just thinking, wow, they must be married. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe I think like that. Because people that are new, when it's fresh and new, we take time to get to know each other, don't we? But my thought is that, you know, no matter how long you've been married, we evolve every day, every week, every month, every year. We're not the same, at least I hope not. We're not the same today as we were, you know, 10 days ago. We're always learning more about ourselves and those that we surround ourselves with, don't we? I mean, we should. And if that's the case, then shouldn't we always be engaged in learning more about that person that we care so much about? And how do we do that? See, God says to us that he wants to have an intimate relationship with us. That's what God says. And he even gives you the rule book. I always say the Bible is the rule book for life. Because in any game, you need to know the rules in order to play, right? You need to know how to win. You know, you run the race to win the prize. That's what it says in the Bible. And so in order to do that with God, how do you get a relationship with our Heavenly Father? Well, you have to be in his word because you have to know his thoughts. You need to know what he's thinking, what he says. And isn't it the same for us in our relationships here on this earth? Is that we need to understand how somebody thinks, what their thought process is, what's important to them. My children, when they were dating, I would always ask them when it was a new relationship, I would say, okay, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to tell me what color eyes does that other person have? Because, you know, you truly need to be invested and you truly need to know their birthday and you need to know what color eyes they have and what their favorite fruit is and their favorite vegetable. I mean, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But doesn't that make you feel special when somebody knows? For instance, for me, it was, I wanted someone to know how I took my coffee. Do I drink it black or do I drink it with cream and what kind of sugar or sweet and low or what do I use in my coffee? How about you? Does the person that you spend your life with, do they know how you, or maybe you don't like coffee. Do they know that you don't like coffee or how you drink tea? I mean, those seem so simple, don't they? But you know what? They mean the world. Those simple little things mean so much in a relationship. It's just knowing those little details. Or what a childhood was like for the person that you love. Do you know how they grew up? You know, what was their family of origin? What was their relationships with the people that they were in a family with? Those are important things because it gains insight to why they respond or react the way they do. If you know these things about those people that you love the most, it can help you understand better. And we're to seek to understand much more than to be understood. And if we take the time to do that, it's going to bring you health in your relationships. And I don't know about you, but that's important to me. So family, what is your relationship with your closest family members? What do you want? What do you want from them and what do they want from you? And in ministry, what are you doing of significance for God and for others? These are going back to the basics. There are things in which you need to assess. And assessing brings access, doesn't it? When you assess things, you understand that there might be something lacking. And when you understand where the hole or the lack is, then you gain access to fixing those issues. In order to navigate through the bus lines, train, and underground, I needed to know where I wanted to go and where we were. And so when looking at your list above, you need to have a fierce conversation with yourself, don't you? You need to understand where you are right now in all of these things that I mentioned. Understand where you are and where you want to go. What kind of relationships do you want to have? What kind of work arena do you want to be in? And what part of that do you play? These are all really important questions to helping you pray and ask God to give you a focus and understand what's important. You need to understand and ask these tough questions so that you can understand this is where I am right now and this is where I want to go, and then you're going to more easily get to where you want to go. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. So with all that being said, in Ephesians, it says, in Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In relationships, we do need to do that, don't we? It's not all his way or her way or their way. It's we submit one to another. So we evaluate what the needs are of everyone concerned and try to find a win-win in there somewhere. And I live my life like that. And it's really brought me a lot of success and a lot more peace in my relationships. It's really a wonderful thing. I have this little book here, and this little book is called The Five Happiness Habits. Does anyone want to know what the five happiness habits are? Well, here they are. I'm going to give them to you right now, and they're really good. Are you ready? You could write them down if you like. Practice gratitude. Every day, write down three new things you're grateful for in a notebook, in a Word document, or on a journal app on your smartphone. After a little as 2 weeks of doing this daily habit, research shows optimum improves and success rates rise significantly. Isn't that interesting? Just after 2 weeks. The next one is remember the good times. Spend 2 minutes a day describing in writing one positive experience you've had over the last 24 hours. This practice helps transform you from a task-based thinker into a meaning-based thinker, someone who scans the world for meaning instead of an endless list of to-dos. You know, at the end of every day, at the dinner table, if you take the time, which you should, I think it's very important to have a family that eats together and prays together and plays together. So if you are in a family situation at the dinner table, always ask everyone at the table what their high of the day was and what their low of the day was. And it's really good input, and it kind of keeps everybody connected. It's a really good idea, and I recommend it highly. Exercise. Exercising your body doesn't just strengthen your muscles. Spend 10 minutes a day exercising and your brain will begin to believe that your behavior matters, all while reaping the benefits of improved circulation. Just 10 minutes a day. I say 20, but it's saying 10. So let's just start with 10, okay? 10 minutes a day. That's not tough, is it? The next one's meditate. Don't overthink this one. Just sit for 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. Can you do that? Focusing your mind on your breath, moving in and out. After a day spent multitasking, this practice of attention training will help unwind and de-stress your mind. And the last one of the five happiness habits is write a thank you note. Every morning, write a quick email praising or thanking a family member, friend, or teammate. Your feeling of social support will increase, which is the greatest predictor of happiness. Aren't those great? Five happiness habits. It takes 21 days to create a habit. Did you know that? 21 days of repetitive action will create a habit. So if you want to break a habit, you have to stop doing something for 21 days also, so you can reprogram your mind to work for you in both ways, right?
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you, Ecola, for allowing us to be on this show today. I am so grateful and thankful that Ecola is sponsoring this show. It means a lot to me, and If you need a termite or pest control service, please call Ecola because they'll take care of you. I think they're the best company in California. So there you go. We're talking about planning, goal setting. We're talking about if you don't, you know, days go by and we spend more time on planning our vacation than we do planning our lives. And I would really like to have us all be more productive each day. How about you? And I find that I am all over the board right now. I feel so scattered sometimes because there's so much going on in my life. And I don't know if you can relate to that. But I've got the book that just got published, and it's called Learning to Breathe, and it's now on Kindle, Amazon.com, just today. Put it on Kindle, so it's available on Kindle, and I think that's so amazing. I mean, who would have thunk? I mean, I'm just, like, amazed at what's going on right now there. And the book, Learning to Breathe, is about asthma. It's about indoor air quality. It's about having a healthier indoor to live in or work in. And I think that's so important. I have a son who's now 31. His name is Tyson. Love him dearly. I have a daughter, too. Her name is Tiana. She's 28. And Tyson was a chronic asthmatic. And growing up, we had enormous amount of episodes of asthma where he could not breathe. He couldn't gain his breath. And we breathe about 14,000 breaths in a day. And to not be able to do that, to have to actually physically think about it and labor to get a breath is a very scary thing. It's almost like being underwater and trying your darndest to get to the top where the air is and you can't get there. And so you're struggling for that breath. And I know from personal experience because up until 7, I had asthma also. And so I know what it feels like from a firsthand experience. And then I know as a mother watching a child suffer and labor, it's a very difficult thing. So I wrote this book. When I was injured, I had the time because before that I didn't have the time to write. And for some reason, I had this time where I was laid up. And so I utilized that time to write this book. And the book is informative. It's educational. It gives you hope and it gives you help. It has scriptures at the beginning of every chapter, which kind of go along with the story. It is my story. It's a story of the things that I had to deal with. There's some funny things in there. There's some dramatic things in there. I've been told it's going to end up maybe being a movie. So who knows? We'll see where it goes. Anyway, you can get it on Amazon.com. So I want to read some scriptures regarding plans. Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Psalm 146:3-5. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, their God. And here's one from Proverbs, and this is the one that I lean on. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. I believe in that. I don't know if you do, but if you have a plan, and you think it's a pretty good plan, pray on it, of course. And also seek godly counsel. And if it's a business venture, you want to have people that are successful, that are doing better and more than you, and ask them their opinion. Because it's much better to get that counsel than to have to go through the school of hard knocks and have the money that you've worked so hard for go right out the door. So make sure that you are wise. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. That's Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So when you have plans, make sure they're God's plans. Make sure that God has something to do with it. And if it's not your gifting, if it's not something that you feel really good about and that comfortable with, then maybe it's not right for you. God created us with special gifts, and we need to work in our gifts. If we don't work in our gifts, the labor is harder. it's not meant for you to do. Maybe there's somebody better to do that than you. Stick with what you know and what you're good at, and I guarantee you that you will feel better about yourself and your progress and success will be more. I've learned this from experience. So I have this little thing from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I want to read this to you. Habit 1, be proactive. The habit of being proactive, or the habit of personal vision, means taking responsibility for our attitudes and actions. It's instructive to break the word responsibility into 2 parts, response, ability. Proactive people develop the ability to choose their response, making them more a product of their values and decisions than their moods and conditions. Isn't that fantastic? I love how that's worded. It's just very articulate, to the point, and really drives that message home. Many behavioral scientists have built reactive stimulus response models of human behavior based on studies of animals and neurotic people. Relatively little research has been conducted with healthy, creative, proactive people who exercise the freedom to choose their response to any given internal or external state. The more we exercise our freedom to choose our response, the more proactive we become. The key is to be a light, not a judge, a model, not a critic, a programmer, not a program. In so doing, we choose to feed opportunities and starve problems, to keep promises, not to make excuses, and to focus on our immediate circle of influence rather than on the larger circle of concern. Isn't that fantastic? That is so great. That's only habit 1. Habit 2, begin with the end in mind. This is so true. In any goal, you have to think, what do you want to accomplish in this? And whether it's personal, spiritual, emotional, physical, do you want to lose 20 pounds? Do you want to just lose inches? Do you want to make X number of dollars? What is it you want to accomplish? What's the end goal, the farthest and the biggest you could go? Then what you do is you work your way back, because you have to break it off into littler pieces. And when you do this, you will reach your goal. Goals aren't reached overnight, especially the big and most important ones. They're not reached overnight. This life is a journey. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And this show is syndicated, which is really amazing to me. It goes all the way to San Diego and to San Luis Obispo. And it also, with the internet, goes all over the world. And I have people in Paris and London that listen to this show. And it's just amazing to me to think that there's people way over there that are listening to this show. So it's really amazing. Also, I would like for you to connect with me. And the way you do that is to go to SueFreeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And when you do that, you can go to the podcast section. You can go to the TV video section and see videos. There's a video on there where I'm riding a unicycle. Yes, a unicycle. And I talk about the love languages. And it's very informative, and it's really important for any relationship to understand how to love that other person in their own language. Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? So if you're curious, just open up Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and look at the video where I'm riding a unicycle. Okay. Habit 2, begin with the end in mind. The habit of personal leadership means to begin each day with a clear understanding of your desired direction and destination. Management, in contrast to leadership, is more concerned with efficiency and speed along the course. Effective people realize that things are created mentally before they are created physically. They write a mission or a purpose statement and use it as a frame of reference for making decisions. They clarify values and set priorities before selecting goals and going about the work. Ineffective people allow old habits, other people, and environmental conditions to dictate this mental creation. They adopt values and goals from their culture and climb the proverbial ladder of success, only to find, upon reaching the top rung, that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. Oh no! The second, or physical creation, follows from the first, just as a building follows from a blueprint. If the design is good, the construction will go faster and better. Quality, after all, can't be inspected into a product. It must be designed and built into it from the beginning. That's so true. in my business at Ecola, we're working on systems and procedures, and it's really important that we understand what we're trying to accomplish. What's the end result? What is the customer going to receive? What are they going to hear? What are they going to see? Does it make sense? And we have to work backwards and make sure that every single thing that we're doing is staying along our mission and our vision, and that we're not getting off track. And it's so easy to do because there's so many things coming at us all the time. But if we have a clear plan and we work the plan, chances are we're going to get a lot further in this. It's kind of like planning that vacation, isn't it? What are you putting in that suitcase? What's most important? It all goes together. And no matter what you're doing in life, you have to be clear on what's most important and what you're trying to accomplish. And then all this other noise will be sounded out. It'll be muffled because you're going to go, nope, that's not part of my plan. Nope, that's not part of my plan. Nope, I'm not going to go over there because that's not part of my plan. Another thing that I found in the workplace is that I always ask myself, is there someone else in this organization that could do this than me? And when there is somebody else that can do that, could they do it better than me? Not always could they do it better, but could they do it, and could I train them to do it better than me, or at least as well as me? Because as we move forward, we want to make sure that we are staying focused on what we need to be focused on, not continually doing what others could do for us or with us. And so it's important that we keep that in mind also. Habit number 3, put first things first. The habit of personal management involves organizing and managing time and events according to the personal priorities identified in Habit 2. To leverage our time, we should give less attention to activities that are urgent but unimportant and devote more time to those things that are important but not necessarily urgent. So there should be 4 squares. There's activities 1, activities 2. Activities 1 goes on the left. Activities 2 goes on the right. There's activities 3 and activities 4. And on the left side, we have urgent, non-urgent, and then down the side, you have on the top important and not important. And if you divide things up into 4 categories, you're going to find that you're going to realize so many things that are taking up your time, your thought process, are not really the things you should be focused on. Urgent things act on us, and we usually react to them, but we must be proactive rather than reactive to do the important but not urgent things. Only by saying no to the unimportant can we say yes to the important. So understand what is important, what's not important, and understand what is urgent and what is not urgent. And if you ask yourself those things when you've got a fire in front of you, that's going to help you decide what you need to address and what can be put on hold, or what can somebody else do instead of you. Habit number 4, think win-win. I love this one. This is one of mine that I think of all the time. People say I have magic with people, and I don't think I do. It's just my whole life I've thought about what's in it for the other person. And I do that, I don't know, people say that I have a sales mentality, and maybe I do. But I'm just thinking about, if I can make this a win-win, what would that look like? What would it look like to make this a win-win? And when we do that in relationships, it really helps, because you have to really understand what the other person is wanting and saying, and then what it is you want and what you're saying. And when you do that, you can usually come up with something in the middle, or maybe one way or the other, and then the next one's the other way, right? It's not always 50-50, is it? People say, oh, each person has to give 50-50. I don't agree with that. I think each person should give 100% all the time. And if you have both people giving 100% all the time, and you have each person thinking about the other person before themselves, you're going to have a happy, happy relationship. I don't see how it could work any other way, truly. So thinking win-win. Win-win is the habit of interpersonal leadership. In families and business, effectiveness is largely achieved through the cooperative efforts of 2 or more people. Marriages and other partnerships are interdependent realities, and yet people often approach these relationships with an independent mentality, which is like trying to play golf with a tennis racket. The tool isn't suited to the sport. Win-win is the attitude of seeking mutual benefit. Win-win thinking begins with a commitment to explore all options until a mutually satisfactory solution is reached, or to make no deal at all. It begins with an abundance mentality, a belief that by synergistically increasing the pie, there are pieces enough for everybody. People with scarcity mentalities believe there is only enough for the best. They seek win-lose solutions, and people who are kind but lack courage usually end up with the lose-win leftovers. Effective people model the win-win principle in their relationships and their agreements. The win-win performance agreement clarifies expectations by making the following five elements very explicit. Are you ready? Desired results, guidelines, resources, accountability, and consequences. Now, don't disregard the consequence part. I can relate this to parenting. If you're not a parent yet and you're planning on being a parent, just put this in your index in your brain for later. But the consequence has to match the crime. And in business, the same thing. If somebody repeatedly calls in sick, what would be a natural consequence? Yes, you could fire them. Yeah, that's one thing you could do. Or maybe you give them the day off. You know, if they always call in sick on Monday and you have a 6-day week, how about making it that they don't work Mondays, that they work Tuesday through Saturday? For me, that worked out really well for one of my employees. He always called in sick on Mondays. So I said, okay, from now on, you're Tuesday through Saturday. And Saturday was always an overtime day. Now it's not an overtime day, and it's good for him. So what is that? That's a win-win, isn't it? But he just called in sick instead of saying, hey, can I change my schedule to be Tuesday through Saturday? You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Habit number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. I mentioned this earlier, and this is so true. We need to focus more on understanding the other individual, the other situation, whether it's a group or an individual. You need to understand their position because you can't come up with a win-win if you don't understand the opposing party. And they don't really need to be an opposing party. They're an opposing party to begin with because we're not understanding each other. But if we take the time to really communicate and articulate and make sure that we understand exactly what the words are that they're speaking and the feelings and the emotions behind the words, because sometimes words are saying one thing, but the emotion is saying something different. So pay attention to both. Our body language speaks very loud if we pay attention. Our eyes, focusing on eyes, they say a lot about a person just by looking at someone's eyes. The habit of communication is one of the master skills in life, the key to building win-win relationships and the essence of professionalism. Doctors diagnose before they prescribe. Top salespeople assess needs and then sell solutions to problems, not just products. And isn't that true? You know, when you're selling anything or when you're buying anything, you need to make sure, for instance, if you're buying, you need to understand and tell the other person what your needs are, what your concerns are. And then the salesperson, the person that has the service that you think you're wanting, they need to listen carefully because they need to make sure that what you want is what they can deliver. And if you're not clear on that, then somebody's going to be disappointed at the end of this episode. So it's really important. Most credibility problems begin with differences in perception. To resolve these differences and to restore credibility, we must exercise empathy, seeking first to understand the point of view of the other person. Empathetic listening is deeply therapeutic because it gives people psychological air. Once people are understood, they lower their defenses. Hammering emotionally rooted problems by probing is often counterproductive. Evaluation, sympathy, and advising are also ineffective as a means of gaining understanding and influence, but they may have value once the other person feels understood. So what's the message right there? I don't know if you caught it. But basically, if a person's emotionally charged, the best thing you can do is not talk, but to listen and listen and listen and listen and listen to understand, not listen just to listen, because you can listen. I've had people in my life that listened but didn't hear, and it's important that we hear. So be sure that when you're listening that you're really hearing what the other person is saying, because that's the only way you're really going to understand that person. And if you let them just totally air out all the emotions and get it all out, it's going to be much easier to come back and try to find resolve in that. But if you don't let that emotionally charge out, you can't come up with solutions until that's done. Habit number six, synergize. Synergize is the habit of creative cooperation or teamwork. For those who have a win-win abundance mentality and exercise empathy, differences in any relationship can produce synergy, where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Synergy results from valuing differences by bringing different perspectives together in the spirit of mutual respect. People then feel free to seek the best possible alternative, often the third alternative, one that is substantially different from and better than either of the original proposals. Synergy is the human resource approach to problem solving, as opposed to a please or appease human relations approach. Insecure people tend to make others over in their own image and surround themselves with people who think similarly. Habit 7, sharpen the saw. The habit of self-renewal undergrids all the other habits of successful people. As the farmer in the fable learned from sad experience, success has two sides, the goose, which represents production capability, and the golden egg, the production of desired results. It's wise to keep both sides in balance. Yet, when people get busy producing or sawing, they rarely take time to sharpen the saw because maintenance seldom pays dramatic, immediate dividends. The habit of sharpening the saw regularly means having a balanced, systematic program for self-renewal in the four areas of our lives: physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual. Without this discipline, the body becomes weak, the mind mechanical, the emotions raw, the spirit insensitive, and the person selfish. It's the law of the harvest. We reap as we sow. We will enjoy a successful harvest if we cultivate the 7 habits of effectiveness and live in accordance with the underlying principles. I don't know about you, but that really is a lot of information. It's a lot of information that if you go onto the podcast, I think you could hear it over and over and over again, write it down, and then ask yourself that question. And I really, really, the most important thing that I want you to get out of this is that you need to have a plan. You need to ask God to help you with the purpose of your life. What were you created to accomplish? Because at the end of the day and the end of your life, do you want your life to matter? If you're a mother or a father and you've had children, your life matters because you've brought other children into this world. If you're in ministry and you're changing lives, or you've brought one person up to know the Lord, there's so many things that we touch and we do. And I just want you to fulfill what God created you to do. And if you ask yourself these questions, I know for a fact that you will accomplish God's goal for your life. And we want to be significant. Do we want to have significance in our lives? Do we want to do something that's significant? It's different than being successful. But if we take success to the next level, it would be significance. It's one thing to be successful, but how about significant? I don't know about you, but I want my life to change lives. I want my life to matter to other people. I want to touch other people, and I want to give people hope and a help when maybe they don't have it, because I've been there, and there's been people for me. There's been people put in my life that have given me the hope and the help, and I'm so grateful and thankful for that. So until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day. Do the things that I've talked about here, and I know that your life will be changed forever. And don't we want to be more and better than we were the day before? I do. How about you? Bye-bye.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.